Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Trump's pick to run the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., will meet with senators on Capitol Hill today. A new AP poll found just 3 in 10 people say they're extremely or very confident in Trump's cabinet picks. But some Republicans defending those choices, including Tulsi Gabbard, the former Democrat selected to serve as Director of National Intelligence, and Republican Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri told ABC,
"This smearing her as some sort of foreign asset is a slur against her, and I look forward to her opportunity to answer these questions in these Senate confirmation hearings."
There are more calls for federal authorities to deploy systems to track drones after an uptick in sightings in the Northeast. Federal officials say many of these supposed sightings are airplanes. The Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry says the death toll from the Israel-Hamas war now exceeds 45,000 people since it began in October 2023. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Zombie fans will be excited to learn that the third installment of Danny Boyle's 28 Days Later franchise is just around the corner. The film is called 28 Years Later and stars Aaron Taylor Johnson and Ralph Fiennes. Boyle returns to the director's chair for this film after executive producing the second installment of the franchise 28 weeks later. Ben Stiller can be downright rude, at least when he's playing Hal, the role he is playing again in Happy Gilmore 2 with Adam Sandler. In an interview with Yahoo News, Stiller said about his character, "He's just so mean and he just hates Happy so much. You don't have to worry about having any redeeming qualities or being likable, which is great." For whatever reason, the plot for Happy 2 is being kept completely under wraps. Shooting for the film has been completed and a tentative release date is set for July 2025 on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers defeat the Seahawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay led 20-6 at the half and went on to win 30-13 over the Seahawks in Seattle. The Packers defense, 7 quarterback sacks, special teams with a good kick return and 3 field goals. On offense, wide receiver Romeo Doubs back from a concussion with 2 touchdown catches.
That's just part of us just getting better collectively as a core. Yeah, I just look forward to progress, cleaning up the details on tape and just moving on to the next opponent.
Quarterback Jordan Love.
Coming out fast, putting up some touchdowns early. You know, defense doing a great job getting the ball back for us. But, that's when we're at our best, is starting fast, getting the ball, putting up points, and going from there.
Packers linebacker Quay Walker left the game with an ankle injury. Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith having an MRI on his right knee after being sacked in the third quarter. Sam Howell took over the rest of the game. NBA, the Bucks getting ready to face the Thunder in the NBA Cup Finals in Vegas. Tip-off time tomorrow night at 7:30 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We're going to meet each other out in beautiful Seattle. My youngest godson lives out there. He works for the Navy at the Bremerton Naval Shipyard.
This is like your trip to L.A. There's always a connection over here.
Well, sure, because there's no hotel cost. I crash on people's couches. Right?
You are as innovative as you are cheap. That's a beautiful thing. You are correct. Thrifty, my friend. Are you sure Todd's a former Republican? Yes. Yes, he is.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue our live coverage from the Seattle area, focusing on the Naval Air Station in Bremerton. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Foggy this morning, mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles or flurries as we head through the day. It'll become windy this afternoon with a high of 36. Tonight, windy 24. Tomorrow, cloudy. Afternoon, light snow with a high right around 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah. Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, we'll continue a conversation with author Laura Bird, full of recommendations for books that also make great holiday gifts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
6.7 FM, 1670 AM.
The Zone.
Chicago to help you wake up on a very foggy start to a Monday morning. Welcome in, everybody. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. Yeah, you are going to notice dense fog advisory in effect for a lot of Wisconsin today, so make sure you're giving yourself a little extra time if you've got to get to the office or get the kids to school or something like that. Probably isn't going to burn off until later this morning. Cloudy skies are in the forecast. Daytime highs today around 42. Maybe a little bit of a wind that you'll notice out of the west, gusting up to 25 miles an hour. Tonight, same thing, gusty winds down to 28. Tomorrow, cloudy skies, 37. Wednesday, sunshine and 30 degrees. And then Thursday, looks like we've got a pretty good shot at snow in the forecast. How much? Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, will give us those details in about 15 minutes. Also on the way, Stephanie Hoff reminding us how important it is if you are going to be donating this year to an animal shelter, donate locally. Get the money directly into hands of volunteers and staff near you. She's visiting with a woman from Sauk County to explain how vital those local donations are. And up next, the can of the green beans, corn, peas, or what have you, you're buying at the grocery store might actually be more expensive than the vegetable you're looking for. Just one of the stories from the Midwest Food Processors Association recent convention, and Ben Jarboe's got the details on that one just around the corner.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
For many years, the Midwest Food Products Association has been working hard to make sure consumers get the nutritious produce they need. But this has not come without its challenges. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarboe. And as acres to produce diminish, it has created some issues for the food products industry. Jason Collada, the president of the Midwest Food Products Association, joins me to speak on some of the key problems they are facing and how they are working to combat them.
Well, our roots with this association are really in Wisconsin's canning of vegetables. And so we have a lot of canning and freezing members from that legacy industry. And there have been some challenges. There's been a lot of consolidation in that industry. But in particular, this area, the upper Midwest, is a real strong, a powerhouse, if you will, of producing sweet corn, green beans, peas. We are rivaled only by Washington State, really, when it comes to producing those crucial processing crops for the canned and frozen vegetable industry.
Are any regulations making it harder to be able to produce these crops, like with regulations on herbicides and that kind of thing? How hard has that been in the past, let's say, 20 years for the industry as a whole?
Yeah, no, that's a really key issue that we have to contend with. So there's a pressure from wanting to improve water quality and public health concerns. And then there's a desire to improve those standards. And what we run into is there are certain crops that may only have one or two crop treatments available. And if they are removed because of those concerns, and they're legitimate concerns, we run into trouble because we don't have other tools in the toolbox. And so one of the things that we try to do with our association in particular is fund research through the University of Wisconsin and the University of Minnesota, where we're trying to develop alternatives for those crop treatments, whether new ones that can be registered through IR4 or if if there's things we can do on the growing side or on the breeding side to avert the need for crop treatments.
Well, when you take a look at these specialty crops, another issue that a lot of people talk about is they think everything's GMO and that it's bad and that kind of thing. Are you seeing a lot of that in the industry and part of speculation about what's going on with the produce?
Ben, I appreciate you bringing that up because we hear that a lot. And the truth is that almost all, well, I should say the specialty crops that we produce in the upper Midwest, you will not find GMO crops for human consumption. Of course, with field corn, with soybeans, which we don't represent, you have those issues arise, especially on the animal side. But for us on the specialty crops, we do not produce GMO crops. And in all the product we have, it's a constant battle where people assume that we're adding all these things. And typically, it's the crop itself that's in the can or the frozen bag, right? But in the can, for example, it'll be the crop, it'll be some water, and there may be some salt, and it tastes better with the salt than without.
Well, and I'm sure another issue that this industry is running into as long as the rest of agriculture is a labor shortage. People aren't wanting to go out and be farmers and work with produce and plants and stuff anymore. What is the industry doing to try to combat that?
Yeah, like you said, with any industry in America today, that's a real challenge. So we have a couple of solutions. First of all, probably a half dozen of our member companies have resorted to using seasonal workers, almost all of whom come from Texas and come up for a portion. It might be June to November or some place within there. The sweet corn crop is the most labor intensive, so we tend to get more workers as the season goes on. And these are hardworking folks who want to come up. Many of them have done this type of work for three and four generations. Sometimes they'll all come together and work, which is impressive, and there's a lot of pride in those companies and the families that have worked in the same company for that length of time. But we still really struggle. Many of our plants are located in rural areas, and in times past, our seasonal help was the football team or something like that. And that labor is not available as it was in times past. So there's a lot of attention on automation and what can we do in food processing to reduce the need for labor, particularly when it's like a work comp type situation where heavy lifting or so. There's been a big move toward palletizers and depalletizers and equipment like that that's robotic. And if there are further places we can do that, we are always looking for improvements that can be done. And we're really not looking to replace jobs, but we're looking to finding technology that can fill in where we don't have the labor to help.
And with the H-2A, I'm sure the industry uses that a lot, but with the Trump administration coming back in, we know he's hard on the immigration and just having foreign people come in to even help with work. How do you think that's going to affect this industry? And is that where the automation's really going to come in over these next 4 years? Or what are you thinking with that?
Well, first of all, we do have some members that utilize H-2A, but it's not very many. The seasonal workers are typically legal residents of the United States, and so we just don't get into those. You know, we have I-9 verification, and which pretty much is the standard for, is the standard for our industry, and compliance is very important. But what you shared is a strong concern that I think the broader agriculture community in particular is very concerned about is what happens if we do. You can understand a crackdown on the criminal illegal population, but if it were to be the broader population of folks who are not here legally, there will be some impact to agriculture, definitely.
When we stick looking at the new administration, Dr. Tracy, he was talking about how the U.S. is the largest sweet corn exporter. I'm sure there's other crops here in the U.S. that have large exports as well. With the possible tariffs that Trump's going to put on, probably retaliation from others, how is this going to affect this industry?
Well, that remains to be seen. We're still contending with tariffs that were imposed on steal back in 2018 when President Trump was first in office. We have really struggled with that. While we produce, we have the ability to produce all of the nation's need for canned vegetables here. And what's happened is because we have to pay tariff on the tin plate steel that's used for American cans, because the U.S. does not produce. We had two American producers of tin plate. We're down to one, and they cannot meet. They meet about 40% of our market's need, and so we have to go overseas to buy. And so there's tariffs, and there are also quotas on, like, South Korean steel, which is a high quality that our industry, there's a need for quality. And so we've really struggled with the tariffs. We were very disappointed when President Biden's administration effectively made no change to his predecessor's policy. And we are now in the position of losing domestic market share in American groceries and convenience stores because we have to pay tariff on our cans, and many of our foreign competitors do not pay tariff on the cans they sell. And so the ocean freight is the differential, and that tariff amount, about 40% of the cost of a can you see in the store is the tin, the metal, to make that, the steel, I should say, to make that can. It's not the crop. It's not the labor. So much of it is driven by that inflated price because of tariffs. And we're not talking about sourcing metal from China. We're talking about allied countries, Belgium, France, South Korea, Canada. If these are places that we could get at whether a reduced tariff rate or ideally back to no tariff from these allied countries, that would really benefit our domestic market and allow us to continue to grow vegetables from Wisconsin potato and vegetable growers, or those in Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois. That's our basin from which we grow, and it's a real challenge for us, and we're concerned what happens next with tariffs.
After years of hard work to help better the industry, Jason Culotta announced that he will be stepping down from being president of the Midwest Food Products Association, and that Nick Novak will be taking over the role. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the National DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Dom Selvia.
I'm Jimmy Cuska, filling in for Dom Selvia. Coming up Monday, we'll talk gas prices heading into the holidays, and it's not too late to run for local office. We'll tell you how.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Got my winter coat up at the other house. That dawned on me this morning as I was shuffling around trying to figure out where I put it down. Then it's like, oh man, I don't remember wearing it yesterday.
Not very smart, Pam.
I know. Today you might need it just a little bit, but still, all in all, pretty mild.
Yeah, the week really stays mild. We're still on the high swing as far as temperatures, but it cools down then as we head to midweek. Couple of little precipitation chance. The fog is the biggest deal. Dense fog advisory till 9 a.m. Let's start in the southeast. Of course, Milwaukee County, Waukesha County, down to Racine, Kenosha, into Illinois, up through Madison, Beaver Dam, into Green Lake and Marquette County, and all the way over to La Crosse, and then further north, kind of skipping away from the Green Bay area, but heading up through Stevens Point, Neillsville, Wausau, all the way up to Rhinelander and Marinette, Menominee, Iron Mountain, all under that dense fog advisory with that very mild air that rode in yesterday and the moisture that held with it. The fog kind of built in already in the day and lingered through the night into this morning. A weak front out to the west trying to build through today. Nothing really showing up on the radar right now in terms of precipitation, but there may be a little bit of a rain chance almost anywhere in Wisconsin by late today or this evening, a sprinkly little shower, another organized front, a lot of activity coming this week. Another front drops from the Dakotas on into our area as well, and may account for a little rain-snow mix already in western Wisconsin late Tuesday or into Tuesday night. In the east and southeast, maybe not Tuesday night until early Wednesday. I don't expect this to be a big deal, although west central Wisconsin, and I'm kind of looking toward La Crosse, Mauston, and into central Wisconsin, we may talk an inch or two of snow that could accumulate as we make our way on through Tuesday night into very early Wednesday. Not a big deal. Temperatures not dropping into the deep freeze, but dropping to a little below freezing so that snow could stick around a bit. I'd expect some clouds and cooler weather on toward the end of the week. And even if the weekend starts out kind of cold, moderation again into next week as we start heading toward the holiday, I don't think we're going to be talking about a deep freeze even at that time. I'll have forecast details right after this.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
All right, buddy, for anybody that's already moving around out there, they better give themselves a little extra time with this fog.
Yep, the dense fog advisory we talked about all over a good part of the state until 9 a.m. this morning. That fog will linger longer as well. It may not be quite so dense, but it could stick around even into the afternoon. A mostly cloudy day really in store. Could be a little light rain in western Wisconsin as we head toward midday or into the afternoon. I expect those temps in the upper 30s, low 40s in the south, and the south winds become west about 5 to 15. Overnight, mostly cloudy. Low 20s, maybe an upper 20 in the south, 28 or so, and I'd expect the west winds 5 to 15, gusting to 25. Mostly cloudy tomorrow. Talked about it again, west and north, a little light snow around as we move on toward late afternoon Tuesday or into Tuesday night. I'd expect those temps tomorrow still in the very upper 20s to mid 30s with the west winds at 5 to 10. And Wednesday, partly sunny skies, a little light snow early in the east and south, maybe only up to 30 in the south, in the mid or low 20s the further north you head, Pam. Not all that windy northwest winds, even 5 to 15 Wednesday, but temps are going to be slowly cooling for midweek.
Are they going to be able to hang on to that snow, let's say, north of 29, you think, Stu?
It's possible now. I mean, we don't see those 40-degree days returning anymore, so Yeah, we may actually start to build a little cover.
Because I did a story last week with some Stevens Point area researchers that are talking about how ski hills have had to change kind of their practices because of these kinds of mild temperatures. It kind of really sucker punches them with the length of season. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah. When we drop from cold weather for a couple of days to something up over 40 like this past weekend, right. Yeah, it melts off quick.
Yeah, well, rain takes it away pretty good, too. So, all right.
Yeah.
I got doggy paws all over the place with this stuff.
You're not alone.
All right, man. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks.
All right. See ya.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial ag weather update to get you started on a Monday. Don't forget, Compure Financial, your partner in agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com. We're visiting with an animal shelter in Sauk County to find out how you can help this holiday season.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Trump's pick to run the Department of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., will meet with senators on Capitol Hill today. A new AP poll found just 3 in 10 people say they're extremely or very confident in Trump's cabinet picks. But some Republicans defending those choices, including Tulsi Gabbard, the former Democrat selected to serve as Director of National Intelligence, and Republican Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri told ABC,
"This smearing her as some sort of foreign asset is a slur against her, and I look forward to her opportunity to answer these questions in these Senate confirmation hearings."
There are more calls for federal authorities to deploy systems to track drones after an uptick in sightings in the Northeast. Federal officials say many of these supposed sightings are airplanes. The Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry says the death toll from the Israel-Hamas war now exceeds 45,000 people since it began in October 2023. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Drew Barrymore says she has been warned by her talk show guests not to be so touchy. The host often holds the hands of her guests and is very huggy and says she is working on not invading people's space and respecting boundaries. In a recent appearance on the show, Wicked star Cynthia Erivo said she didn't mind as she is very affectionate as well and gave permission to Touchy McGee to be affectionate during her appearance. Grabby Moore also held hands with Ariana Grande when she made an appearance on the show. I wonder if she would be as handsy with Seth Rogen. Doubtful. Third time is a charm for Anne Hathaway, who says Christopher Nolan saved her career. I had no idea it was ever in danger, but show folk do tend to exaggerate. The Oscar-winning actress says being cast in her third Christopher Nolan film let her know she was doing something right. Other Nolan films the actress has appeared in include The Dark Knight Rises, Interstellar, and Oppenheimer. Hathaway also appears in the new Nolan movie, which people know very little about, and that's the way Christopher Nolan likes it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers defeat the Seahawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay led 20-6 at the half and went on to win 30-13 over the Seahawks in Seattle. The Packers defense, 7 quarterback sacks, special teams with a good kick return and 3 field goals. On offense, wide receiver Romeo Doubs back from a concussion with 2 touchdown catches.
That's just part of us just getting better collectively as a core. Yeah, I just look forward to progress, cleaning up the details on tape and just moving on to the next opponent.
Quarterback Jordan Love.
Coming out fast. Putting up some touchdowns early. You know, defense doing a great job getting the ball back for us. But, you know, that's when we're at our best is starting fast, getting the ball, putting up points, and going from there.
Packers linebacker Quay Walker left the game with an ankle injury. Seahawks quarterback Geno Smith having an MRI on his right knee after being sacked in the third quarter. Sam Howell took over the rest of the game. NBA, the Bucks getting ready to face the Thunder in the NBA Cup Finals in Vegas. Tip-off time tomorrow night at 7:30 with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Earl Ingram.
Join me next time for Motown Monday. We'll start the countdown to the holidays, react to the news from the weekend, and end the show with the politrickster of the day. Don't miss it.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Foggy this morning, mostly cloudy with a few sprinkles or flurries as we head through the day. It'll become windy this afternoon with a high of 36. Tonight, windy 24. Tomorrow, cloudy. Afternoon, light snow with a high right around 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on the impact of Shelby County versus Holder, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision invalidating Section 5 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Anticipating even more erosion of the VRA, some states have passed their own state VRAs. It's not only the dismantling of Section 5, the preclearance requirements for states with a history of discrimination. The conservative justices also made proving racial gerrymandering harder under Section 2, and they've made it easier for a state legislature to dilute minority voting power. And in the lower courts, more cases attempting to keep individual voters from bringing voting rights lawsuits under the VRA are pending. With dwindling protections from the federal government, California, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, New York, Connecticut, and Minnesota have enacted state VRAs. Michigan, Maryland, New Jersey, and Florida have efforts underway. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund recommends that state VRAs should have preclearance requirements for municipalities which have patterns of discrimination. Rules should include a prohibition against vote denial or dilution through gerrymandering, strong protections against intimidation or deception, language assistance, a statewide database to make evidence-based decisions on election administration, and a directive to the state judiciary to support pro-voter and pro-democracy decisions. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Actually, where they're headed, I got 12 and 5.
I want to hit you in your taste buds on a Monday morning. Welcome back, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, Midwest Farm Report right here for you. Before we wrap it up today, we are going to catch up with a chef that is all about sourcing his menu items locally. And you know what? In Wisconsin, that's not necessarily difficult. Spring, summer, even fall. But what about winter? Kyle Julius is the owner and operator of Chef at Large Catering. Bumped into him last week at a conference, and we had a really interesting conversation about how diligently he works to try to keep his menu fresh, and a little something for all of us to think about when it comes to buying local in the wintertime. Yes, it's a Monday, the 16th day of December, as a matter of fact. What can I tell you about this date? Let's see, on this day back in 1707, that was the last eruption of Mount Fuji. Yeah, highest volcano in Japan. Do you know that eruption lasted 17 days? It's also the last time that it was active. On this day in 1773, the Boston Tea Party took place in the Boston Harbor. On this day, 2010, last episode of Larry King Live aired after 25 years. And on this day, in 1950, child star Shirley Temple announced her retirement from films. How old was she? 22. And now you know. Hey, you're going to notice a theme from the Midwest Farm Report. If you're planning on giving donations this winter of a financial type to organizations, if it has to do with animals, animal rescue, animal shelter, please contribute locally. Stephanie Hoff found out how important local donations are to your local Humane Society shelter when she talked with a gal from Sauk County.
It's the season of giving, and if you're an animal lover, you're probably inclined to donating to your local animal shelter. Today, we're visiting with Stephanie Kramer. She's a volunteer with the Sauk County Humane Society. What surprised me when she walked into the studio is that she's also the United States of America's Mrs. Wisconsin. She's pretty outspoken about the importance of local animal shelters, especially in rural areas. She tells us what the costs and needs are to operate a shelter and the best way to give your donations or your time. First, Stephanie tells us what makes the Sauk County Humane Society unique.
We are what we consider to be the last true open admission shelter in Wisconsin, and we take in roughly 2,000 or so animals every single year, and that's a lot for a small rural shelter. It really does have us busting at the seams. And we do not charge surrender fees, nor do we require appointments for individuals if they needed to surrender an animal for any reason. We take in any animal under any circumstance, day or night, 365 days a year. And because of that, over 65% of our animals come from outside of Sauk County.
Just how much does it take in terms of resources to keep this type of operation open? As you said, 365, 24 hours a day, accepting 2,000 animals a year. That sounds expensive.
Running an animal shelter is incredibly expensive, especially if and when we are giving individualized attention to every animal that comes through our doors. A couple things I think would be important to discuss would be tests. So every single animal upon intake is going to undergo a test. So cats, for example, are going to be tested for feline leukemia or feline AIDS, if you will. And not all shelters do this anymore because of the extreme costs that are associated with doing so. Dogs are also heartworm tested, especially if they're showing any signs or other signs. We also test them for tick-borne diseases. Now, if you think about us humans, animals are the same in that they also require vaccinations. So every dog that comes through our door is vaccinated for distemper, kennel cough, lepo, and every cat is also vaccinated for distemper.
The veterinarian services that we think about for our own pets, but the shelter pets get that kind of attention too.
So dogs, cats, rabbits, they're all given preventative testing as well. Monthly heartworm, flea and tick, things like that. Now, daily care. It's something I don't think community members often think about, is that all animals require this daily care. So the plethora, the 2,000 plus animals that we get in, have this non-medical daily care. And those expenses include things like wet food, dry food, kitty litter, laundry detergent, dish soap, bleach, toys, other cleaning products. So many things that go into it. And this, of course, is completely in addition to the normal operating expenses that are necessary to keep the shelter running. And then finally, emergency care. Sometimes these animals are sick or sometimes they're injured. And when they come through our door, they could be in very critical condition. Just this year alone, we have already spent over $40,000 on emergency care. One example could be Princess, one of our dogs that came in who needed to be taken to the emergency vet because of her puppies and the pregnancy.
So, Stephanie, when it comes to the giving season, wanting to either donate, you know, cash funds to your local shelter, or maybe you want to donate your time, what are some of the best practices for giving?
There is this misconception that shelters are all somehow linked together, but that's not the way it works. Every local shelter is its own private entity. So when you give to a local shelter, your resources, your gifts go directly to the care of those animals. And sure, there are large national organizations that might do amazing things, and they do. But when you donate to those organizations, you're also paying for some of the highly paid executive staff members. When you contribute to a local shelter, that money is directly going to those animals.
As you heard from Stephanie today, the shelter is bursting at the seams and is campaigning for a new building in 2025. Donations and your time are welcome to make that goal a reality in the new year. Stephanie Kramer is one of the many volunteers at the shelter. She's also the United States of America's Mrs. Wisconsin. Happy to have her along with us today. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to outyield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
What's that you say? You didn't hear what the guest said, or you missed part of the conversation? No problem. Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, and glance through our podcast playlist. you'll see the entire conversation or the completed show, all in that list. Plus, you might stumble across something that you missed. Score! That podcast playlist is also a great way to pass the time in the truck cab or the tractor seat. That's MidwestFarmReport.com.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Big congratulations to Darren Von Ruden from Westby. He is a dairy farmer that's passed the reins on to his son so he can continue to be involved with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. During the 94th Wisconsin Farmers Union Convention that wrapped up yesterday in Wisconsin Dells, Darren was elected to another term as their president. You'll hear more on the Wisconsin Farmers Union 94th Annual Convention a little bit later this week. Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished a quarter cent lower at 172 and three quarters. 40-pound block cheese, that was up a penny and a quarter at 180, while AA butter finished the week down 6, 246 and a half per pound. On a Monday morning right now, we've got our January Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, currently trading down 3 cents, 1996 a hundredweight. The March cash corn's up a penny at 443. December new crop next year corn's up 2 at 441. January soybeans are up 4 at 992. November new crop's up 3 at 1009. March wheat's a penny stronger at 553. July new crop also up a penny right now at 570 a bushel. If you haven't checked out our website lately, MidwestFarmReport.com, I want you to know we're paying attention to what you're consuming. Last week, our top five stories included at number 5, Beyond Beef, Cylon Rolling Acres, and Goat Meat. Number 4, Finding Your Fit with Agricultural Internships. Number 3, Not Enough Days for the Farm Bill. That's still a pending issue. Number 2 on our playlist was a recap of the year with the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. And the number 1 listened to piece last week at MidwestFarmReport.com. The winners of Farming for the Future, the Buboltzes from Rock County. That's all available at MidwestFarmReport.com. Go ahead, click and listen. See if one of your stories makes it to our top 5 this week from MidwestFarmReport.com. Up next, you know, we all love to eat local, support our local farmers, but how do you do that in December when there's not very many items that are fresh? Kyle Julius, owner and operator of Chef at Large Catering, is doing it, and we're going to find out how next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday's show, we'll talk about that big Packer game against the Seahawks, while Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us to give us a peek at the weather for the upcoming week.
And Kristen Ambos is in from Point Mortgage with tips and available programs to finance your home.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Last week at a watershed meeting in Whitewater where he was emphasizing to the audience that the ingredients of our meal came from local sources, which begs the question at this time of the year, what's fresh around Wisconsin? If you're really committed to buying local, consuming local, what do you have to choose from in December? I talked with Kyle Julius a little bit about his love of food and how it got started. He introduces the subject by admitting he did not grow up on a farm, but has always been curious about where food comes from.
I've always been an outdoorsman. I like going out in nature, foraging. I do a lot of mushroom foraging, ramps, wild onions, things like that. So being connected with my food system has always been important. And then coming up in Madison restaurants, obviously there's a big focus on that. A lot of the time it's just for lip service to get people in the door. But coming from that background, I come from a hunting family, and that respect for your food, making sure you're fully utilizing things. And looking at seasonality of things, you know, as a hunter or a gatherer, you really need to look at what's available in the season and work with that, as opposed to try to force things in your menu. Everybody likes asparagus, but in December, it's not the right time to be serving it. So looking at comparables, things that are available, there's always something green growing, whether that be watercress in January or, you know, the tender greens in the spring.
Now, that's interesting to say that there's something's always growing, because for many of us traditional Wisconsinites, we're like, nah, I'm going to a jar, I'm going to a bag, I'm going to something that I grew and am holding on to. Tell me a little bit, Kyle, on how you've seen, shall we see, the food opportunities grow for chefs like you, because everybody's paying attention to local now.
Yeah, I mean, companies like Garden to Be, Scott Williams does an amazing job over there brokering a lot of different farms, getting access to some of the Hmong farmers and ethnic farmers that otherwise wouldn't get representation. Everybody knows about the big companies like Harmony Valley and Crossroads and some of those other larger producers, and they're great to work with, but having that community and some people that are advocates for that community really helps the access to consumers and chefs like myself. And then you're also having a lot more farm commerce happening as well. Vitruvian Farms is a great example of that with their new farm store, where they're trying to bring everything within the area, whether that be dry goods, fresh produce, canned goods, you know, frozen products as well, offering those good, healthy local options as opposed to going to the grocery store and buying that out-of-season pepper.
You know, the one thing you've already taught me, Kyle, is plan ahead and work on relationships. This one meal we're enjoying here in Whitewater started when?
So we started planning this like midsummer, late summer. So really looking at the forecast of what's going to be available for produce, and being adaptable as a chef, writing smart menus, not just focusing in on one specific vegetable, but using terminology like, you know, fall vegetables. It gives you a little bit of agency to work with the farmers, because if the local farms run out of delicata squash, then you can't really serve that. But there's plenty of other local squash available. But now you've just pigeonholed yourself by a menu description.
Tell me a little bit about people inquiring for your services. Maybe give me a little perspective. When you started and how it's grown, type of clientele then, who's coming to broker with you now?
Yeah, so I've been cooking for about 20 years. I've worked in a litany of different restaurant jobs, cafes, hospitality, large banquet facilities as well. I started this business about 4 years ago and started doing small events, private events. Since then, it's blossomed. Now we're doing large corporate events. Obviously, off-site catering is what I specialize in. This May, we actually purchased a food truck. So that's really opened up some opportunities to be able to to cook in the field. Nobody wants somebody showing up with fresh local vegetables that sat in a hot box for 2 hours. So really focusing on that on-site cooking. And that lends itself really well to on-the-farm dinners, weddings in the field, anything where, you know, a kitchen might not always be accessible. And I think that's what kind of sets us apart from other caterers and vendors, in addition to our hyper-local focus.
We mentioned about planning ahead, but you also work very hard at continuously cultivating new relationships. And I don't use that phrase as a pun, but literally you are always looking for new partners. Tell me a little bit about how you keep that up.
Yeah, so a lot of it is through word of mouth. Events like this where we're getting in touch with the farming community as a whole, meeting new beef producers, new organic producers. And really, like, sometimes I'll just be driving and see a rather large, like, community farm and just kind of pop in and see who's running it, who's growing what, are they growing it personally, or are they trying to move into the commercial market? Because oftentimes they're very hard to get on a vendor list. Going down to the Dane County Farmers Market is wonderful as well, but a lot of the times there's a huge waiting list for those vendors and those farmers. So really boots on the ground, making connections, having conversations, and sometimes just showing up at farm events and, you know, shaking hands.
Yeah, that's how important the local food movement has become, not just for people like Kyle Julius, owner and operator of Chef at Large Catering, but also for the farms that want to reach those consumers hyper-focused on local food. And that'll do it for us on a Monday morning. Come back often to MidwestFarmReport.com. Catch up on our podcast playlist. And please do enroll in our daily e-newsletter. Then you won't miss a thing concerning Wisconsin agriculture and food production. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Same time, same channel.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK, Amory Community Center's Christmas Day Dinner is coming. On Christmas Day, the community center located on Harriman Avenue South, and the dinner will be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., suggested donation of $10 for adults and $5 for children. Christmas Day, 11 to 2 at the Amory Community Center. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
A nationwide effort to keep bird flu out of the milk supply. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
It was only recently that traces of highly pathogenic avian influenza were found in milk. And now the U.S. Department of Agriculture is implementing a national milk testing strategy to address the issue. Julie Gauthier of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service says it's a five-stage process. Step one is at the processor level.
We'll be asking dairy inspectors to sample milk at the processing facilities from each silo that contains milk intended for pasteurization, a screening stage that we want to put in place all across the country.
Gauthier says states don't have to move through every stage, but if they do...
Stage two is something that a state can decide to use to fast-track them to demonstrate unaffected status or identify that state as being affected with this virus in their dairy herd.
The testing will identify specific herds to focus on to eliminate infections, says Gauthier.
Once a state has conducted enough significant testing to demonstrate that there is no virus present, then they can be moved to an unaffected status. Once we get all the states in the country at stage four, we can conduct at least 90 days of surveillance in order to demonstrate to the world that the U.S. is free of this virus in dairy herds.
Even after the milk supply is found to be free of high-path AI, testing and monitoring will continue. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk about news deserts and what that means to our politics. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink?
Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Congress in session this week for the last time in 2024, and it's a busy week for some of President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the choice for health secretary, due to meet with more than two dozen senators this week. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio has more.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s personal attorney once lobbied the FDA to revoke the polio vaccine. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell, a survivor of polio, saying efforts to undermine public confidence in proven cures are not just uninformed, dangerous. In response, Kennedy says he believes the polio vaccine should be available to the public and properly studied.
A new AP poll found just 3 in 10 people say they are extremely or very confident in Trump's cabinet picks. In New Jersey, more calls for more federal support to figure out what is behind the drone sightings in the skies. Federal officials say many are standard airplanes. And the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry now says 45,000 people have died in the war. This is a Two Russian